From the studios of KUSP in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Robert Bader is my guest. He is the editor of a wonderful compilation of writings by the one, the only, Groucho Marx. Originally published many years ago, now revised with several previously unpublished pieces, the book is Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales, Selected Writings of Groucho Marx, an updated and expanded edition. Robert Bader, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you, Gary.
And thank you for collecting these wonderful pieces of Groucho's.
It was an accident that began many, many years ago. I was just really interested in the Marx Brothers and Groucho in particular, and I began going to the public library and just trying to find everything I could lay my hands on, and all those years later, it became a book.
I just
love the fact that he had this sort of second career as a writer, and he kept it going through his entire career, and he was just friends with writers. He appreciated the written word, and he just was as proud of that stuff as anything else he ever did.
In fact, would you say, I mean, it's kind of an odd thing to say about Groucho, because he was, you know, I think probably the funniest guy that ever lived, and in fact, he was so funny that anything he said was funny because he had said it. And yet, he craved the attention of being a writer. He felt that maybe he could have been a greater writer, or he hadn't accomplished as much because he wasn't a great writer, something like that.
He was self-conscious about having only completed the sixth grade in school, and he probably overcompensated. He was probably more well-read than many college graduates. I think Dick Cavett actually said that people who go to college only say they read things. Groucho actually read them. He was really quite a man of letters, and all of his close friends were writers. And he was always thinking that his show business career was just about at the end, and every time he got into career problems with either the Marx Brothers or on his own, and it didn't look like he was going to continue, he just said, I'll just go back to being a writer. And he continued doing it, even when he would bounce back and the Marx Brothers would get back together, or You Bet Your Life took off, or whatever the next thing was, he continued to be a writer.
And you did find some writings right up in at the end of his life, right in the 70s.
One of my favorite things in the book is an advertisement he did for Teacher's Scotch Whiskey. And I don't think Groucho was much of a scotch drinker, but they were doing an ad campaign with a lot of famous comedians writing a little testimonial. And Groucho's is really funny. And it ran in a couple of magazines like Playboy and Esquire, and then it was kind of forgotten. And it was just such a well-written, funny piece. And it turns out to be the last piece of its type. He wrote it in 1973. He didn't do much more like that after that point, and that might be the last published item of that kind.
How much of Groucho's writing was written by Groucho?
You know, almost all of it, in truth. I go into that in the book quite in detail, because Groucho had a man named Arthur Sheikman, who was a close friend, who was a writer for the Marx Brothers at various times, who he allowed to use his name to get some things published, and it created this confusion about whether Groucho used a ghostwriter or not. And the truth is, Groucho didn't need a ghostwriter. There were many wonderfully written things before he knew Sheikman. But Sheikman was having a little trouble getting published. And Groucho was trying to help out a friend by letting him write a few Groucho pieces here and there. And they even co-wrote a few things, and Groucho brought him in as an editor. And he helped Groucho put together some of his books. In fact, Sheikman is the editor of Groucho's book, The Groucho Letters. But the truth is, Groucho wrote the pieces that we have in the book. I didn't use the things that were known to be written by Sheikman.
And how could you tell which things were written by Groucho and which were written by a man who should remain nameless, although his name is Arthur Sheikman?
There's correspondence between them where they refer to the pieces as my piece or your piece, and they talk about his agent selling them. Once you've read them all, you can see where Sheikman is probably trying occasionally a little too hard to be Groucho, and Groucho calls him on it in some of the correspondence.
How much was Groucho influenced by S.J. Perelman and Robert Benchley as a writer?
You know, that was a question that would probably trigger a really animated reaction from Groucho with reference to Perelman, because they kind of came up together as writers, and Groucho would say, I influence Perelman, and Perelman would say, I influence Groucho as a writer. And they were good friends, and they kind of went back and forth on this for years with a little bit of a minor feud while remaining friends. But I think Groucho's biggest influence as a writer was probably Franklin P. Adams, who really made him want to be more of a writer, and Benchley. All the great humor writers of the period were influenced by Benchley. I believe James Thurber was once quoted as saying, a writer's nightmare would be to spend a whole night writing some wonderfully witty piece, only to find out that Benchley had done it in 1924 much better. I think Groucho would be admitting it to be influenced by Benchley, as they all did. But Perelman wrote for the Marx Brothers, and Groucho and Perelman were very, very similar. And Perelman wrote really, really wonderful lines for Groucho and Horse Feathers particularly. So I think it's a mutual admiration society for those two.
You always have to have a dictionary when you're reading S.J. Perelman, because he uses some crazy words, but Groucho doesn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stylistic difference, but I think their tone is quite similar and their subject matter, too. I just think they're wonderful to read together. Read a little Groucho, read a little Perelman, you could see it.
Harpo is famous for having palled around with the literary crowd in New York at the Algonquin. What about Groucho? Did he hang out with those guys?
He didn't like to be in that situation where everyone was trying to top each other. He didn't like having to be on, and he felt that all those guys were coming up with these witticisms to make sure they got in the paper, and he didn't really care for that. But on the other hand, he did send witty lines to Franklin P. Adams to put in his column. He just didn't like going to lunch and having to try and top Kaufman or, you know, top Benchley. So he stayed away from that, and Harper was apparently a great listener who occasionally came up with a great one of his own.
But Groucho did hang out at the Hillcrest Country Club in California with those comedians, Jack Benny and Milton Berle and all those guys, didn't he?
The Hillcrest wasn't a bunch of guys trying to top each other. It was a bunch of guys who liked to play golf and eat the same food. I don't think they sat there going at one another. And maybe the stories of what they did at the Algonquin are a little bit exaggerated. I don't think they all came to lunch trying to come up with a better joke than the other guy, but Groucho sort of characterized it as that.
Oh, we're talking with Robert S. Bader. His book is called Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales, Selected Writings of Groucho Marx. And this is a new edition. How many new pieces are in this new book?
I've got about a dozen. Actually, maybe it's 11. And some photographs. The original edition was not illustrated. And some of these are items that I've discovered since the original publication, and others were things that I had and held back, either because I didn't feel that they quite fit the format at the time, and some of them were actually pieces that Groucho had written as speeches, and I was trying to stick originally with things that were written to be in print. And for this edition, a couple of those speeches were just too good to leave out. So there are a couple of really wonderful pieces in there where Groucho had written something to be spoken, and now it's in print.
Well, I want to ask about Groucho and Me. I always felt that Groucho and Me, which is a wonderful book that Groucho wrote, it's a wonderful title, a funny title. Groucho and Me, the autobiography of Groucho Marx by none other than Groucho Marx or something like that. But I think it's actually a serious title, that there are two people that occupy the space of Groucho Marx, one being Julius Marx. Do you think that's true? Do you think he had a serious side?
I think he had a very serious side, and I think a lot of people don't understand what his personal life really was. He didn't go out and socialize with the Hollywood crowd. He liked to stay home and read and play his guitar, and it bored his wives to tears, apparently, because they wanted to go out and go to a party at Clark Gable's house, and Groucho wanted to stay home and read. So he was sort of a dichotomy. He wasn't a traditional movie star in Hollywood's golden age. He was sort of a quiet family guy when he wasn't on stage and screen.
That's funny that you mentioned the guitar, because I love that scene in Horse Feathers where he's riding in the canoe with Thelma Dodd and he's playing the guitar, singing Everyone Says I Love You. And he plays great guitar.
The Marx Brothers all played musical instruments, and many of them quite well. They're all playing the saxophone in a scene in Monkey Business, and Harpo's playing the clarinet. They say that Harpo could pick up just about any instrument and tinker with it for a few minutes and get something wonderful out of it. He was just gifted in that way. And I think all the Marx Brothers had this innate musical talent. They came from a family where their grandparents had been musicians. So I think Groucho really loved to play the guitar, but he could also play the piano, and I guess they all played a little bit of saxophone. They're just all able to do it.
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces in the book is a part where Groucho was reminiscing about his past as though he's an old man, although this piece was published before he ever came to Hollywood and ever made a movie.
I love things like that, and what I've discovered since then in working on another book about the Marx Brothers, I found an interview with Groucho Marx done in 1915.
Wow.
In which he reminisces about his long 10-year career in show business.
Isn't that amazing?
This new book is a book I've written about the Marx Brothers' stage career. It's all about before they got into the movies. So in 1915, he was already looking back at his long career.
So, Robert Bader, were you able to, as you're working on your next book, are you able to reconstruct what their act was like and what we would see if we could see the five nightingales or whatever they were called?
Well, they were the three nightingales, then the four nightingales, and then eventually the six mascots. But yes, there is a pretty good description description of each of their vaudeville acts in there, including a few vaudeville acts that have never been reported before.
How were you able to do that? What, did you find the scripts of them?
In some cases, yes. I have a couple of early scripts, but I've also spent way more time than I'm going to admit going to local libraries in small towns and digging up whatever I could find.
I'm looking forward to that book. We're talking with Robert S. Bader, and he's just published a selected writings of Groucho Marx called Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales. And also, Robert S. Bader, you have been responsible for editing together a couple of collections of You Bet Your Life DVDs. Isn't that right?
This is true. You've done your research.
Well, I have those collections, and I love them, and I want more. Will there be more?
That's not up to me. If they want more, I'd be happy to do them, but that was a great fun project because we went back and got the original versions of the shows, not the syndicated versions that people had seen for years, but we went back to the original film elements, and those shows look terrific on those DVDs.
And there's the commercials and all that, which I love.
Yeah. You know, when You Bet Your Life went into syndication, they, in some cases, they blew up the frame and blurred out the NBC logo for syndication and cut off the sponsor's name at the top of the picture. So they look kind of crummy in those syndicated prints, but these DVDs, they do look wonderful.
Bill Marx has been a guest on the show. He's Harpo's son. I know you know him. Has he been a help to you?
He's great. I love Bill Marx. He's been really just a joy. Actually, in the work I've been doing on my Marx Brothers vaudeville book, Bill was gracious enough to let me go through a scrapbook kept by the brothers in the early days, which Harpo ended up with somehow. And it's got clippings from around 1908 to 1920. And it has a lot of rare photographs in it, some of which will be reproduced in my forthcoming book. It is really just a magnificent treasure. And I believe he might have put it in the Smithsonian. It's a wonderful thing. And he let me have full access to it. And, you know, just his time and talking to him about his dad and his uncles. He's been just a great source for my research and just a good friend. I just love the guy.
Well, if you're a Marx Brothers fanatic like Robert Bader and myself, then you must have this book called Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales. And if you're not a Marx Brothers fanatic, then you will be after you read this book, because it's got some great stories. Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales, Selected Writings of Groucho Marx, an updated and expanded edition. Robert S. Bader, thank you so much for spending some time talking Marx Brothers with me.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you, Gary.
That's all the time we have this week on From the Bookshelf, but I hope you'll come back and see us again next week for another good show. In the meantime, check us out on the web at fromthebookshelf.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. You can find us on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Robert S. Bader. He is the editor of Groucho Marx and Other Short Stories and Tall Tales, Selected Writings of Groucho Marx, updated and expanded edition. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. I'm Gary Shapiro. Good night, everybody.